You know what? I'm going to be sad when I run out of Gavin DeGraw songs. Good morning, everyone at Robert Morse University, and anyone who's tuning in on the RMU Radio app, RMU Radio on the website, anywhere you're listening to me, Sam, and Will here in the morning jabber about random sports topics. But again, this is Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning. I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ference and Billy Bob Camilleri.
Good morning. I have a special song for everyone, if that's okay.
You know what? I'm going to allow it. I did toss you the aux cord.
Thank you. Am I up? Am I
turning up? Yep. Oh, just, yep. Follow your dreams. And for anyone who can't see, he's wearing his Carson Wentz jersey.
Sorry, I'm wearing a Superman jersey.
So for those of you that weren't watching Monday Night Football, the Eagles defeated one of their hated rivals, as they hate everyone in the NFL besides them. They defeated the Washington Redskins 34-17, I believe. What was the final score?
34-24.
And moved to 6-1 on the season, which I believe is the best record in the NFL.
Yes, it is.
If I'm not mistaken.
It is very much that.
So Will, who's lived through years of Eagles mediocrity, can
yes.
I say?
Yes.
Eagles mediocrity.
Mediocrity.
In the second season of young Carson Wentz's career, it looks as though they have a franchise quarterback, some wide receivers, a good O-line, and a solid defense. It just seems like everything's coming together for the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of people thought it would, again, be the Cowboys' division to take
control.
But right now, the Eagles are about three games ahead of both the Redskins and the Cowboys, who sit at 3-3, while the Eagles sit at 6-1.
Hey, where are the Giants? Just wondering.
They're 1-6.
Oh, they're 1-6.
Yeah, but the Giants are trash. So
I mean, yeah.
So the question is, where does this lead the Eagles here? Because next week they head to San Francisco. Ignore that.
I think it's in.
It's in
Philly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They play up. San Francisco is what I meant.
And let's be honest,
San Francisco's not good.
The 49ers.
So most likely the Eagles move to 7-1. But again, I mean, anything can happen. We've seen that happen. Ask any Steelers fan that watched them lose to the Buccaneers or the Raiders in previous years, or the Jaguars and the Bears. Which actually, you know what? I want to say the Jaguars and the Bears actually not as bad as everyone thought. So just want to say we did not lose to the Cleveland Browns. It was close, but we did not lose. Just want to establish
that. They still haven't won also.
Yeah.
They lost in the battle of the field goals on Sunday.
But all right. But to the question here. Mm-hmm. Eagles, Super Bowl team?
I mean, I don't think you can say otherwise at this point.
I think you have to put them in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because not only, like, if they were playing bad teams, but their only loss right now, it was a 3-point loss to Kansas City, who many people, besides their two-game skid here, which, again, they lost to the Steelers and the Raiders, which neither team is really bad. The Raiders' record is deceiving because Derek Carr missed a game and they kind of misstepped a little bit. But the Raiders are a good team, and they're a team that everyone should consider as a, you know, a strong team in the AFC. So, I mean, the Eagles, you know, going back to Philadelphia, I mean, they're winning games. They're beating tough teams. I mean, the Redskins are not a bad team, and they've already beaten them. I believe they've beaten them twice, haven't they?
Yep, it's the first time. I don't know the exact number, but it's the first time in a few years that they've won one game, let alone both of them. Because coming into this season, the Redskins had won the previous five matchups.
Yeah, so here, I'm gonna pull up the Philadelphia Eagles schedule.
Oh, I have it.
Can you run
our fact
run
checker, Sam.
Run through it for me a little bit.
Okay,
here.
We got 49ers, Broncos, Cowboys, at Cowboys, home against the Bears, then a three-game road trip against the Seahawks, Rams, and Giants, and then you're home to close out the season against the Raiders and the Cowboys. I don't know about you, but, I mean, I see, at worst-case scenario, 12-14 right there.
I agree with you because I'd say the toughest stretch they have going up is the two-game road trip to Seattle and L.A. because both those teams are good. Seattle, you're going to Seattle, that's always going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And the L.A. Rams, besides the Eagles, might be my second surprise team because they dominated the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, and they've looked good. Jared Goff looks like the quarterback. I mean, I'm not Look, I know, you know, you're the big Carson Wentz fan, but Jared Goff's looked good. You can't deny that.
Yeah.
I'm just a little timid to say that the Rams are, like, a good team just simply because it's the Rams.
See, I would say, normally I would say the same thing. But here's the thing. They've gone through, and they won. They opened up against the Colts, which I know is not a good team, but they won 46-9.
Yeah.
They absolutely dominated them.
I do remember
They barely lost to the Redskins, who, again, the Redskins, the only reason the Redskins are where they are is because they've had to play the Eagles twice. They're a good team. A win versus the 49ers, I know, not much, but then they go and they beat the Cowboys, who, I know, despite the fact that they aren't as good this year, they're still a team that went 13-3 last year. They barely lost to the Seahawks, which is a tough divisional. They beat the Jaguars, and then they dominated the Cardinals. But here's the thing. There have been very few games. They've had 5 of their 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
They've scored over 25 points.
And this is the game's at in the Coliseum?
Huh?
The game's in the Coliseum for against the Eagles. Is it? It's in
yeah,
LA.
It's in yeah. LA. And that's why I think it's tough, is you're going all the way to Los Angeles. And again,
well, is that the first one or are the Seahawks first?
They're the second one.
Okay.
So the Seahawks are first.
So I mean, I think there's less there simply because they're already they're not going to fly back just to fly back out. Like I'd assume that they'll probably stay somewhere that week.
It's, you know, but it's still, it's, you know, once again, it's a week that you're away. It's in the LA Coliseum.
True.
The Rams have, they're not going to Chargers games, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But, like, besides that, the Raiders at home in Philadelphia. I'm interested to see the last game of the season versus the Cowboys just for the sake that for Dallas, it could be, you know, a very instrumental game in getting into the playoffs. I think that's a tough one.
The link is going to be going crazy that game.
But, yeah, the next 2 weeks are San Francisco and Denver, and neither team has looked good this year. Denver's kind of in a spiral right now. And here's the interesting thing. This is another thing I want to ask you, Will. Carson Wentz, he's in the discussion for MVP now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna bring him up, and we're going to go through some stats. First off, he has almost a 62% completion percentage.
Mm-hmm. He threw for 268 yards last
night.
He
has almost 2,000 yards this season, 17 touchdowns.
4 of which came last night.
A passer rating of 104, which, by the way, last year he only had 16 touchdowns and a passer rating of 79.3. He's already surpassed that. I just don't think you can't. He has to be in the conversation.
I think he has the highest QB rating right now.
I think you're right.
You know who's in second?
Who?
Tom Brady.
And that's really great company.
Yes.
So in terms of passing yards leaders, Brady's at number one, which does not surprise me. Shocker of the season, though. Alex Smith at number two. For some reason, Andy Reid and the Chiefs have decided to have an offense. Number three, Carson Palmer, who's done for the year. He broke his arm. And then Carson Wentz at number four. He's up there in the conversation. Let's see. All right, QB rating. We're gonna confirm you.
It might have changed because of last night.
Yeah, he's at number four. Mm. Right ahead of him is Kirk Cousins.
Doesn't make any sense.
Tom Brady, and then Alex Smith is number. Alex Smith's having a year, man. I do have to say, I'm very impressed.
Kirk Cousins is so average. Like, I will always believe, and I'm glad that I came up with this term. Eli Manning is the best average quarterback ever.
Yeah.
I would argue Eli Manning's not even good anymore.
He's not. I don't think he is. Obviously, they've lost 6 of their 7 games this year. But he does have 2 Super Bowl rings, which I think both times you could just argue that it wasn't that they were a good team. They just clicked at the right time.
See, but I do disagree with you on Kirk Cousins. I apologize. I know you feel so strongly about this. His stats this year are good. His stats, his passer rating in the last 3 years, this year it's a 107.2.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was a 97.2. And the year before that it was a 101.6. And he threw 29 touchdowns in 2015, 25 in 2016. He has 12 this year. He's really on pace for what he's been doing. I don't think he's worth the money they're going to pay him.
Oh, no.
I don't think anyone's worth that money.
No.
And
if they're not going to pay him, somebody else will. Well, that's we'll go to the Browns.
That's just the way of the world.
That's actually, like, I think...
Well, the Browns have been saving money. I think they've been... Yeah, mm-hmm. That's actually been what they've been trying to do. But, yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins, and as of recently, it was a slow start because he looked terrible against Philly. He had 240 mm-hmm. passing yards on 40 attempts and a touchdown. 179 yards against the Rams. But then he goes... 365 and three touchdowns against Oakland, 220 and two touchdowns against Kansas City, bye week, 330 yards and three touchdowns against San Fran, and last night he had 303 yards and three touchdowns. So, I mean, he's improving, he's gotten better, and that's always been the way Kirk Cousins is. He starts off slow, everyone kind of starts to, you know, take jabs at him, and then he kind of figures it out, so.
I think I've actually developed my least favorite player, coach, and owner throughout the NFC East. Kirk Cousins is my least favorite player. Like I hate Ezekiel Elliott because I think he should be suspended. And, you know, he really irritates me. There's a lot of things I could go off about him. But I don't like Kirk Cousins more than I think Ben McAdoo irritates me the most. I don't know. Because, like, the Redskins, for the most part, have been pretty irrelevant in the past few years. They usually sit third or fourth in the division. But for whatever... And I think it's the fact that... That was probably the tipping point.
Just one more time, Sam. You want to hear it again, too, right? You like that? I like that. I'm a big Kirk Cousins fan.
Ugh. Ugh. I don't know. Him and Zeke are probably tied, honestly.
I'm not a fan of Ezekiel Elliott. I'm done with him. But that's a whole other point.
Yeah. There are many things I could go off about him. My least favorite coach, I'd say, is Ben McAdoo, simply because he's just...
Like, well, the Giants' least favorite coach is Ben McAdoo. They don't even like him.
Oh, man. He's just funny. And Jerry Jones. My least favorite.
Here's something interesting to think of. So, right now, the New York Giants are on their way down. They're going to be bad for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
The Philadelphia Eagles are really on their way up. You may disagree with me, but the Dallas Cowboys are on their way up. They're both the quarterback and their running back are young, and that's who you want to base your team around. They're up and coming. They will continue to battle with the Eagles for the coming future. The Washington Redskins... Their future very much hinges on Kirk Cousins and whether they will keep him next season. Because if they do not have a quarterback, they will not have a team. That is the league that we are in. That is the way the NFL goes. And it's intriguing to see because if he stays, I would say the NFC East becomes the best division in football. Because right now, you know who the best division in football is?
What?
The AFC East. They have... three teams that are 4-2.
Well, it's the Patriots, the Bills,
and the Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
And close behind is the 3-4 New York Jets. And that's intriguing. But see what I mean by, like, that's not a... In reality, that's not a really strong division. The Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets, all... Their record... They've overperformed. Their mm-hmm. records overshow their performance. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I would say that the Cowboys are better than their record. And I'd say the Giants are a little bit better than the record. I think the Cowboys are better than the Redskins. I think the Eagles are the best team in that division. I said they were going to win the division. You said it. This isn't anything that's surprising per se. I think a lot of the league is surprised at the Eagles' performance considering how they looked last year. The question going forward for Philadelphia fans, so this is clearly addressed to Will, but you can, Sam, I'd like you to hop in. You're very quiet today. I miss you.
Okay.
What are the effects of the Jason Peters injury?
I don't know. Like, he's a huge part of that offense. Like, he's one of the clear leaders. I mean, he's 35. He's been with this team forever. Like...
And he's a rock on that line.
Yeah. That's somebody, like...
That's a big deal.
You don't have to worry about somebody coming around Jason Peters probably 95% of the time. So that... It's tough in that way. However, I mean, after I forget what the score was when he went out, Because it was in the early in the second half, I believe. Yeah.
And they looked better in the second half.
Yeah.
Which to me was very telling because if you had seen the game kind of fall apart, collapse in front of the Philadelphia Eagles, they're sitting here at 5-2, staring at their hands going, what's happening? Big impact. But my question is, and the Denver offense is horrible. Do not get me wrong. But you go play that Denver defense that is going to apply constant pressure on that O-line. If you see Carson Wentz running around, you're in trouble. And that was the problem at the end of last season when Lane Johnson went out.
Who's his backup?
Nick Foles.
Is he good?
I mean, he was. I haven't seen him play in a few years. I wouldn't really worry about that. I think there were some situations last night after Jason Peters went out that, you know, showed that our O-line was weaker with him not there. But I think Carson was able to step up and kind of get around that. Like, obviously, that touchdown to, I forget his first name, but Clement. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where he, like, threw it as he was going down, and he caught it with a toe drag in the end zone. Like,
and that's
elite stuff.
I agree. I hate tossing the term elite around. If Carson Wentz...
Franchise. How about that? Is that a better word?
Yes, Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback. You cannot deny he's a franchise quarterback.
My father
was
in tears last night.
Now, a question for you. To become an elite team, what do the Eagles need? Because there's...
Secondary?
Yes.
Like, I think if there's one thing negative to take away from that game, it was the first game that secondary didn't show up.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
And it was a piece that, coming in, I thought would be more of, like, a downfall for them. But, I mean, they've been good thus far. It's just last night, obviously, they gave up 313 yards. Is that what you said? Yeah, around about.
You let up Jordan Reed, who arguably has been limited this year with injuries. But Jordan Reed's one of the best tight ends in football. They let him score 2 touchdowns. And as good as he is, you have to be able to limit him. If you're an elite team, you have to be able to limit Jordan Reed. And they did not. Kirk Cousins tore up that secondary last night. And you cannot deny that.
And I think it was the front four that really shut them down. Yeah. Because if you don't have that pressure, I mean, we had a special teams linebacker starting because Hicks got hurt early on. So, obviously, it wasn't going to be a great defensive game. I mean, I knew that going in. But, I mean, not going in. But at the beginning, when Hicks got hurt, it became very clear that they were just going to throw it because they could. I mean, nobody really – I don't know what the exact yards were for the Redskins on the ground. But, like, Carson Wentz was the leading rusher.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if they can get a running back, I mean, just a consistent young – like, I'm not saying LeGarrette Blount's bad, but, like, they need a young running back, and if they can get one, they can – like,
well,
like you said, Dak and Ezekiel, like, you have young quarterback-running back combo. I mean – if they can get a good young running back, I think they're unstoppable almost.
Yeah, this is a team that scores 28 points per game, but yet they only have 3 rushing touchdowns all year.
Well, I mean, because you have – I mean, I think Wendell Smallwood is getting better. I think he's definitely developing. I don't think he's quite there yet. But you have LeGarrette Blount, who I feel like all he ever does is just run it up the gut. And then as soon as he gets hit, like, just stops. You know?
Yeah.
But can we talk about, just speaking of running, I mean, I only watched a little bit of the game last night, but that play where, like, Carson Wentz was just in a sack
and
of
then,
just
and
men.
And just not?
He yeah,
just
I was like,
there anymore.
I thought he was sacked, and then all of a sudden you see the camera, like, zoom over, and he's, like, 10 yards downfield. I'm just like, whoa!
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I've seen that.
That really impressed me.
Franchise.
You have to have a quarterback that can make those plays, and I was really impressed by that.
Think about it. Your wide receivers are all improved when you have a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think Mac Hollins having that touchdown if he's with another quarterback. I don't. They hit. I forget his name. It was number 14. He almost had a touchdown. The ball was just a little bit out of his reach. But I mean, these are no name, nothing guys you've never heard of before that Carson Wentz is throwing bombs to and making them look amazing.
Well, you know who else I'm really impressed with this year?
Nelson Agholor.
Him, but I was going to start with Zach Ertz.
I agree with that.
Can we just take a second and acknowledge how good the tight ends in the league are this year?
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing very well.
It's, you know, it's the Rob Gronkowski effect.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of saw what a big, powerful guy who can catch can do for a team. Rob Gronkowski, for his entire career, has been a game changer. This year, not so much for Gronkowski, because now the trend's following. You got guys like Jordan Reed. You got guys like Zach Ertz. You have
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Jared Cook. All tight ends that are very talented.
Delaney Walker.
Mm-hmm. Talented guys. And it's exciting because, it adds another aspect to it. You saw the NFL become more of a passing league because that was the way to score more points.
Mm-hmm.
The next avenue is tight ends. Mm-hmm. I think it'll still be a rare commodity because I think it's hard to find a big guy who's fast, who can block, and who can catch. But it's going to become more prevalent because people are going to start looking for it.
But even the younger guys, I mean, like Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, I mean, they're doing good. You had Charles Clay before he got injured. He was doing really good.
Who has not impressed me?
Who?
Jesse James.
Yeah, I thought he would. I thought he'd do a little bit better.
Has not impressed me.
Steelers' offense hasn't impressed me that much either this year.
Just, you know, we're gonna segue to Steelers here for a second because you're right. This is very important. The Steelers, how many field goals did they put up? They put up 5 field goals, which was a Heinz Field record against the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah.
I thought Chris Boswell kicked 6. That might have been away. Never mind.
Yeah, hey, it was in Kansas City.
You want to know how many were in the Browns? Who'd they play this week?
Titans
game? 7.
Yeah.
That was the game.
This was the record by one team.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It was between two teams, and it was the only scoring of the game.
Yeah. What's more Cleveland Browns than that? And a losing overtime.
Overtime to another field goal.
Now, it wasn't all funny. I mean, if you want to talk about elite players, Joe Thomas getting injured.
Oh, dude, the snap streak.
Over 10,000 consecutive
snaps.
That broke my heart. Can just staggering statistic real quick. Guess how many quarterbacks he's played with?
20.
18.
And, like, the story about him getting in the huddle and not knowing who the quarterback was, so he had to introduce himself, might have been just the epitome
of
Cleveland Brown. Oh, there was a lot of mentioning the @Browns last night.
Well, I mean, that's just tough because how do you replace a guy who's been to, like, I think, like 7 Pro Bowls? I mean, he's been there for 11 years consistently.
He's the definition of consistency.
I mean,
on a team that
has been so inconsistent. It's like the ultimate irony.
Yes. You know, it is also the ultimate irony. 2 years ago, the Cleveland Browns traded away that number 2 spot to the Eagles, who then took Carson Wentz.
And then, meanwhile, this year, Deshaun Watson's tearing it up, and the Cleveland Browns were going to draft Deshaun Watson and then decided to get Deshaun Kizer instead. And we all see how that's going.
Now, here's a question for you. Do you think, I mean, he's going to be out 6 to 9 months. Tricep, that's obviously important for a lineman. Do you think he should retire? Do you think he's going to play?
I think he's going to keep playing. I really do. I don't think that Joe Thomas is the kind of guy that would let an injury end his career. That's just my thought. I don't know how much longer he'll go, but I think he'll keep going.
Do you think Jason Peters will retire?
I think Jason Peters is to consider. He's 35 years old, a lineman. Really tough injury.
I don't know. Do you know? I didn't see the exact diagnosis. It was something in his knee.
And that's
MCL.
MCL? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's tough. The thing is when you're at 35, it's never going to heal fully.
No. I mean, it's not going to heal fully no matter how old you are.
But it's in terms of, like, how it will heal.
Yeah, and especially with playing at such a high level all the time.
I say, and I, you know, if I'm the Eagles, I honestly don't know if I'd want him.
No, but I mean...
They would keep him for what he's done and for his leadership value.
And he'll stay and probably... I don't know what his contract is like, but my guess is he'll retire, if not at the end of this year, at some point next year, or he'll go to a team and then come back and sign like a 1-day contract
and like
David Akers did, and
like that. Yeah,
and retire an Eagle. Speaking of which, David Akers got inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame last night.
Oh, I saw on the Eagles Snapchat. These are just Will Camilleri things. Because of Will, I now follow every Philadelphia sports team's Snapchat.
Yeah. Oh, the Sixers got their first win last night. Joel Embiid had 30 points.
Who'd
and
they
Ben
beat?
Simmons, the Pistons. And Ben Simmons had his first triple-double.
Wow. How'd Fultz do? That's the question.
I don't know.
Clearly not that well if he wasn't.
He hasn't been starting. Yeah. I don't know why he hasn't been starting, but he hasn't been starting.
He injured his shoulder, and his shot's been weird. So that's been the problem.
Of course he got hurt.
Also, Jason Peters, his contract runs until the end of the 2019 season.
So I think that kind of – so maybe the Eagles will, like, try to rehab him and see what happens. Because, I mean, if you're going to try and get a good chunk of that money's worth, you're going to want him back in.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, I feel like we got a lot out of this Philadelphia Eagles conversation.
Can I just say one more
final
thing?
Thought.
Because I think it's absolutely amazing considering my stance last year. I don't know where Nelson Agholor bought his hands, but, I mean, I think there are a few other players that could definitely go to that store because, like, what happened?
Dude,
I really don't know. Like, honestly, I think it's the slot.
And like you said, you talked about how it helps that he's a number three now.
Mm-hmm.
That
he doesn't have the number one, number two guys guarding him.
Yeah, he's a solid number three receiver. So, yeah, on that note, Nelson Agholor found his hands. The Eagles found some wins. And Carson Wentz could be our MVP. We're going to go to a quick break. But when we come back, Sam, we're getting you in the action here. Sam's got some stuff he wants to talk about. I want to hear what's on your mind, Sam Ferentz. All right. We will be right look at that transition. Oh, man. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting good at this thing. I'm thinking after this. DJ career? Anyone? Anyone believe I could be a DJ?
DJ Sam Anthony.
Yeah, you would just say Sam Anthony all the way through because that's what everyone does anyway.
I think you need to have a different name. That's just me.
But that's the one, dude.
Stage. Anthony Sam.
That's you know what? You know how many times that happens where like they'll give me a name tag and it'll say Anthony Samuel because they just see two first names and they're like, ha. Ah.
Can you be Ricky Bobby for Halloween?
You know what? I was already Brian Griffin from Family Guy, which is a
Ricky
solid costume.
Ricky Bobby back on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I've already watched it 3 times.
Wow. And you just publicly admitted that?
Yes. I love that movie.
Right.
You're telling me that's it. Where does that rank on your movie all-time list?
Oh, all-time
list?
If
you had to throw out a number.
17.
17?
17.
17, dude. There's a lot of good movies that I like.
I'd probably put it at 10 in the top 10.
I'd put it at 14 or 15. I want to hear your top 3 favorite movies.
Top 3? All right. Well, number 1, Moneyball. That is one of
Wow. That's surprising.
You know what?
Didn't see that one coming.
I don't want to hear it from you. Then number 2 has to be Star Wars A New Hope, because that's where it all started. And I love Star Wars. And then 3rd, ooh, this is tough. See, I've seen a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm trying to think of a movie that, like, if I see it on TV, I'm going to watch it every time.
Oh, I think I know your number 3.
Let's hear it.
I think it's Deadpool.
No, I like Deadpool, but, like, I don't love Deadpool. I'd say that's, like, 5.
Okay.
I'm going to put Bull Durham at 3. I love Bull Durham.
What about you, Sam Ferentz?
Remember the Titans is always going to be my number 1.
Ooh, you know what? I like that pick.
Kingsman, probably number 2.
That's also a great movie. It's so new. I don't know if I can just stick it right in my top.
And, I mean, the number 3, it's hard because, like, 3 through 10,
it's just a mess, dude.
It's a mess.
It depends on, like, the mood sometimes.
Right now, my mood is Shawshank Redemption.
Ooh, see, that's a classic. If you're talking about a classic film, Shawshank Redemption.
For me, my number 1 is probably Zero Dark Thirty.
Really?
I love that movie.
Is that the one about
Bin Laden?
Yeah.
And
okay.
SEAL Team 6.
I've not seen that yet.
It's very, very good. I'll let you borrow it sometime if you would like. Number 2, I'm hesitant to put Deadpool there, but because I think Deadpool is a solid 3. I think Deadpool's a solid 3 for me.
Alright.
This is gonna be a twist for you guys.
Oh man.
I think you might know this. I'm gonna put National
Treasure. Oh yeah, I knew that. That's
2.
Not
oh,
even
yeah.
Let's be clear. Will might be the only person
love
that
movie.
Has National Treasure on DVD and
do.
Brings it with him
I do.
Wherever
I
he goes.
Both National Treasure 1 and National Treasure 2.
No,
Book
I like
Secrets.
The movie. I don't think it's like a top 15, but I got really excited when there were rumors of a 3rd National Treasure.
Yeah, then now it's not going to happen because Nicolas Cage thinks, quote, his career can survive without it.
Oh my gosh, I forgot Elf. Oh, no, no, no. I'm in the Elf mood.
Okay.
Number 3 is Elf,
yeah,
hands down.
I just
props to Will
there
Ferrell.
There are so many movies.
I love
props
Elf,
to Will Ferrell for not making a second Elf because there are some franchises that should only have one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Elf 2, what do you do? Like, the whole premise of that movie was him, like, finding his dad. He's already found his dad. He saved Christmas. Does he save Christmas every year? No, he does it once.
And
maybe
he saves
happily ever after.
Maybe he saves New Year's a few days later. Who knows?
Yeah, we just pick up, like, a couple days later. He has to drop the ball.
You know what I'm kind of excited for? And I don't like horror movies, but I might go see the new Jigsaw.
Oh,
movie
yeah. I'm currently watching all of the Saw movies right now. I just watched number 5 last night. Very good.
I think the 5th one might be one of my favorites. I'm just going to be honest.
It was very, very good.
It's thought out. And that's
yeah.
It sounds messed up, but it's thought out.
Mm-hmm.
I like how it teaches a lesson at the end.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting because I've never seen 6 or The Final Chapter. So I think it's
I don't think I've seen 6 of The Final Chapter either.
I don't know.
When I get back from Dallas, let's hang out
and watch Saw.
All right. So we have
back
about 10
back to sports, yeah.
But
All right. That was fun.
We got nerdy there for a
tangent. Yeah.
I made a mistake. We have to read our advertisement because we're a legitimate radio network. I just got really excited when we started the show.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gavin DeGraw gets me going.
I came in.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles, fly.
Yeah. Woo. So, case anyone hasn't heard, because the posters are everywhere, I'm excited. I'm going to be there on November 3rd in the Hopwood Auditorium. Join Don Luisi at the premiere of Bringing the Blues to RMU, which is a live event featuring the Queen of Blues, Jill West, and Blues Attack, along with the screening of three short documentary profiles of Pittsburgh blues legends Eugene Morgan, Bill Wiener, and Jill West, produced by RMU Media Arts students, which is exciting. RMU connection, everyone, love it. This tribute to the blues is sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania, the Academic Media Center, and RMU Radio. And again, that's Bringing the Blues to RMU, Friday, November 3rd at 5 p.m. You heard that here, November 3rd at 5 p.m., Hopwood Auditorium at Robert Morris University. And now that we've gotten our business out of the way, Will, women's hockey, they dropped that game to Maine, which, by the way, in the pairwise rankings, they have Maine ranked at number 6, and Robert Morris ranked at number 5 in terms of, like, the strength of their schedule, the strength of their wins. They're only lost, but it was 5-2, knocked them out of the rankings. They come back, first game after getting knocked out of the rankings for the first time since December 12th of 2016, which was my birthday.
And they were actually not...
They were still in the USA
Today
ranking.
They still have
a
streak. Yeah,
yes.
So they still have the streak. They technically still have been ranked for something like almost a year.
17 straight weeks.
17 straight weeks.
Yes, but in terms of the USCHO ranking, they were knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
First game, they go to Brown. They play the Brown Bears. They win 11-0.
And there were, I think, 6 different people that scored, right?
6 different people that scored. Brittany Howard had 5 points. She's tearing up college hockey right now. She is the leading scorer in the NCAA. Meanwhile, J.C. Gebhard has 12 assists this season, which puts her at the top. But here's the thing. She's 2 ahead of a Wisconsin player, but she's had 10 assists in 10 games, where J.C. Gebhard has had 12 assists in 6 games.
Dude, she's averaging 2 assists a game.
I just want women's hockey to come back to the island, and I just want to play for
them. But here's the thing. RIT, November 10th, be there for that. They're going to be phenomenal. I mean, just utterly phenomenal. They get into conference play, but here's
RIT
what
or Robert Morris?
RIT, or Robert Morris is going to be phenomenal. But here's the big matchup you have to be getting hyped for, and we're going to be gone. I'll be there for the first game. I will be home for the second game because it is the Thanksgiving weekend. Robert Morris versus The Ohio State University, who's going to be ranked number 4.
Can I ask you a question? Why did you play them 4 times out of the 5 non-conference
There's
teams?
Only 33 women's hockey teams, so the odds of repeating a team are strong, and honestly, what probably happened is the schedules matched up. Probably the agreement to get number 4 Ohio State women's hockey to come here was that we would also go to their place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge. That's a huge matchup. Let's say you go and you sweep number 4 Ohio State. What that tells you and what that tells the nation is that Robert Morris deserves to be higher than number 10. They will forever be a perpetual number 9 or number 10 if they're only going and they're beating College Hockey America teams and teams like Brown. Those are Brown's first 2 games. That was their first game of the season. They lost 11-0. And Brown, I don't believe, is going to be a powerhouse. But
obviously,
you go and you don't have to kill Ohio State. You have to beat them. Where does that bring Robert Morris in terms of rankings? What is their ceiling?
I mean, honestly, and it depends on how the season goes. But like, if they lose 1 or 2 games this season, they could be top 5. They could be top 3, well, I think. I don't think they'll be number 1 simply because Wisconsin at this point is 10-0.
So there's a lot of debate going around about, you know, what's the flagship sport of Robert Morris? Because with the men's basketball team struggling, really the 2 most successful teams have been women's basketball and women's hockey. If women's hockey brings a home NCAA tournament game the Colonials Arena, what is the significance of that?
I think it's huge.
It's going to be packed.
Is it possible?
I think it's... I mean, I
percent
see no reason...
chance
no.
of it happening.
Now, here's the thing.
Let me look at their schedule. Hold on.
I will tell you their schedule right now. The only 5... They have all but... All their games, but five are conference games. The five games that they play, four against number four Ohio State and one against number five Colgate.
So here's the question.
If you can go 4-1 against
or even 3-2
or even 3-2, you're at least sixth, I think. Because you're taking down, if they beat Colgate and then split the series against Ohio State, you're definitely getting, I mean, that's like when Penn State, I don't know how Penn State got so good, but Penn State football, but that's like how Penn State like just immediately jumped into the rankings.
Yeah.
I mean, that this is going to, if it happens, it's going to be like that.
And honestly, it's going to start with Brittany Howard, mm-hmm. who right now she's already the all-time leading scorer on this team, and it's, you know, week four.
She's arguably she's one of the best collegiate hockey players in the country right now.
Yeah, she's up for player of the year. And arguably, if she keeps up with the pace she's going, she'll win it.
I think JC Gebhardt could be up for player of the year, too. She doesn't score as much, but she's still, like, she's a catalyst 100%. To, obviously, she's averaging 2 assists a game, so she's doing something right.
And you have to be excited if you're Robert Morris, because Brittany Howard's a talented hockey player, but so is Gebhardt, and Gebhardt has 2 more years. So even if you're losing Brittany Howard next year, really talented, really, really talented.
You know who's been a pleasant surprise to me this year?
I think I know who you're going to say.
Is goaltender
Elijah Milne Price.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
her goals allowed average is 0.91.
Yeah, and she, I mean, I'll be honest. I've always considered her our number three in the past few years.
It was behind Bailey and Dodds.
Yeah, Dodds and Bailey. But, I mean, she's had a phenomenal year.
She's 4-0.
4-0
in Lauren Bailey's 1-1, and clearly Coach Colantino sees something he likes from Elijah Milne Price because she's getting the bulk of the workload.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly, and that's the way of sports. And again, Lauren Bailey's still a great goaltender, and the fact that the thing that people worried about was, wow, Lauren Bailey's gonna have to take the bulk of the load next year. Like, what are we gonna do? Now it's Elijah Milne Price who's taking the bulk of the load, but also Lauren Bailey's still going to be able to contribute. She was 7-2-1 last year in net. I mean, that's a great record.
Mm-hmm.
And with a team that can score 11 in a game, I mean, that helps tremendously. That, and if you're, you know, your goalie's having a bad game, you sub in a solid goalie after the first period, because that's what happened against Brown. Was Lauren Bailey let up 2 in that first period in that second game against Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Switched it out, put in Milne Price. Milne Price shut out, and Robert Morris came back, scored the game winner with 2 seconds left. Natalie Frazier, wildly exciting.
It's exciting because not only do you have a team that's in, you know, a top ranking, but you have the name Robert Morris University and national championship contender attached to it, which is something I don't think you see in many of our sports here. I think the only one that could even be possibly in the conversation is men's hockey.
Yeah.
Which then goes back to your question, is what's the leading sport at this school? Mm-hmm. Because last year, the average attendance, I don't know the exact numbers, but from what I remember, the average attendance for men's hockey games were about the same as for men's basketball games, and men's hockey games are about a 10-15 minute drive off campus. So, and they don't offer shuttles.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So that means you have people that are going out of their way to go and see this sport.
It's going to be the team, dude. I believe it's going to be the team.
If there's a year for them to do it, and this is back to women's hockey, it's this year.
797 last year. That was average attendance for men's hockey.
I think men's basketball is a little over 1,000.
Yeah.
Which was a third of the Sewell Center.
But if we can get a home tournament game, watch out. Watch out whoever we play.
Yeah, I mean, and I said it last year. I think if we played any team but Wisconsin, we could have gone.
Yeah.
We could have gone to the Frozen Four, honestly. It just so happens that was the luck of the draw that we drew Wisconsin, and, you know, whatever you can say, whatever you want about that. But I think it's going to be a very exciting year. And I think even though we are, you know, 6 games in, I think there's still a lot of hockey left to play. I mean, they've played a game here this season.
Yeah.
And we still have to wait until the second weekend in November
to get an actual game.
See another game.
Yeah. All
right. It's going to be incredible.
Well, on that note,
he's giving us the Emmy music.
You heard the Gavin DeGraw. I thought it was very telling because it was everything will change. So we're talking about, you know, how everything will change with this team. But yeah. All right. On that note, we are definitely out of time. We're a little over, actually. So on that note, this is Sam Anthony signing off.
Sam Ferentz signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
I love you too, Mrs. Ferentz.
This is Will Camilleri signing off. The Eagles are 6-1 and 3-0 in their division.
Everything will